Good morning. I-295 going south at Commonwealth on the west side. There is an accident. We are watching traffic cams for you, and we don't see a lot of backup right now because of that crash. If you're on I-10 headed toward downtown, slowdown starts at around McDuff this morning. It is partly cloudy today and a high of 81. This evening, partly cloudy with a low of 63. And right now it is 63 here at WBOB. And here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. Democrats oppose the new welfare reform bill by the Trump administration. A Quinnipiac University poll finds Florida voters oppose allowing trained teachers and school officials to carry guns on school grounds. And ABC News reports the nationwide college scam was discovered by accident by the FBI.
To contact Ed Dean at AM 600 and 101.1 FM, call 222-TALK, 222-8255, or email ed at WBOB.com.
Coming up around 7:30, our good friend, economics and financial radio talk show host Steve Beaman. On the latest numbers, more millionaires out there than ever before. Is that because of Trump, the wealthy, more class envy, the deficit? What's taking place with all of this? We'll get into this here in just a few moments. Good to have you here with us at 222-TALK, 904-222-8255. Ed Dean, Roger Henderson, let's continue on with the news. Bloomberg News reports that even with all of, remember we're told the class envy by the liberal left of the rich and everything else out there, that a good chunk of those that became millionaires did a lot of it under not President Trump, but became more wealthy under, guess who? Former President Barack H. Obama. Bloomberg News reports that the U.S. has now more millionaires as of last year than the countries Sweden and Portugal. How about that one?
We ought to. We're a bigger population.
The number of Americans in the wealthiest category has more than doubled since the Great Recession last year in 2018. More than 10.2 million households had a net worth of $1 million to $5 million. Now, there's a thing called the ultra high net worth households, those with assets between 5 and 25. That increased to 3.7%. Now, according to the numbers, there's about 1.4 million in the country that have assets between 5 and 25. And those in excess of 25 million and up, there's about $173,000. But liberals say, you know, Roger, with all that amount of money out there, we can pay for the Medicare for all. We can pay for the new Green Deal. As Fox News, Dagan McDowell, Fox Business News, she says, even if you could tax everybody in that report, she says, you still wouldn't have enough money for all of the policies putting out there by the presidential candidates.
I want to point out the great liberal lie is that the rich are somehow, the billionaires are going to pay for all these delicious programs that they're rolling out. Today, it's the Green New Deal. Here's a little fact. If you confiscated every dollar of the adjusted gross income reported by the top 1% in this country every year, you're still going to be more than $1 trillion short paying for your Medicare for All plan, which, by the way, abolishes private insurance and dumps 150 million people off of the insurance they get from their employers.
Propaganda.
That's the idiocy. But you can't pay for it all. You know who pays for it? The middle class. And people who are in lower income, like Europe.
When you run out of the rich,
remember the according to the IRS. Remember, tax reports are up more this year. More taxable money's coming in. This is after the tax cuts,
right? And if you take away and confiscate all the money from those who are wealthy to pay for it, she didn't mention this. You only fund it for 1 year, partially.
Maybe 1 year, or maybe just a couple of months. According to economics professor from the University of Maryland, Peter Morisi, he says, we're going to have a good economic year this year. But he says the only people that are putting down Trump and the Trump economy are liberal left media economists.
Can't sustain 4% growth as we did the middle two quarters of last year, but we probably can sustain 2.5 to 3. Biggest problem we have is the liberal press talking down the recovery, literally trying to talk investors into the notion that it's over, Trump is a fraud, the tax cuts are fraud, and all this. You know, one of the most flagrant violators are economists. It's as if, you know, decades of economic research that show lowering the corporate tax rate will increase investment is false when it's true.
Well, yeah, the economics business has become politicized, I think. Look at Paul Krugman.
I mean, it's hard to tell Paul Krugman from MSNBC.
Yeah.
And he has a Nobel Prize because, after all, the Nobel Prize Committee is MSNBC.
Ah, Ed Dean, Roger Henderson. This is a fascinating poll. A Quinnipiac University poll here in Florida this past week finds Florida voters opposed allowing, now folks, this is the key word now, allowing trained teachers and school officials to carry guns. They are against it. According to the number, and this was about over 1,000 of those surveyed, again, Democrats, Independents, and Republicans, the majority of them, 57% to 40%, oppose allowing trained teachers and school officials to carry guns on school grounds. Roger, when they broke it down by gender, the biggest group to oppose it was women, 63% to 33%. Now, men were about 50-50 about allowing, again, trained and armed teachers and school officials on school grounds. When it comes to stricter gun laws, now, folks, some of you may say, well, this sounds like a fake poll. I don't think it's a fake poll. I just think some people maybe could possibly uninformed.
Yeah, I absolutely believe that's the case. Because you look at the word trained, you and I know that means not just marksmanship,
right,
which was probably what a lot of the people being polled were thinking, but it also includes things like when to not take the gun out in the first place, which is probably...
I don't think those voters are thinking about that.
Yeah, they probably are, but that's the big part of the... That's probably their concern.
But on the issue of gun violence in the schools, 58% of voters say that stricter gun laws would do more to reduce gun violence in the schools. Talking about uninformed out there, 32% say armed teachers would do more to reduce gun violence in school. Florida voters support stricter gun laws, 59% to 37%. 55% of voters say that if more people carried guns, Florida would be less safe. Now, the reason why I say uninformed is, remember when Jeb Bush came into office, the stand your ground, the concealed weapons permit process allowed to be much more, some say liberal, which means in a good way conservative. Mm-hmm. And remember, they had the pictures of Florida as like the shape of a gun, that it was going to be the wild, wild west, and we haven't seen that happen.
Well, it depends on your perspective, too. There are those who believe that, you know, maybe shootings have gone up, at least in these incidents that get the high profile, and that it creates in people's minds that maybe things have gone a little wild, wild west since St.
Well,
ground.
Maybe in only certain areas of Jacksonville.
Yeah.
Maybe certain areas of Orlando and South Florida, but not the rest of everywhere else. Hey, by the way, the same poll, 64% of Florida voters oppose offshore drilling. You know, we talked about this earlier. Remember back in 2008 when gasoline prices were up around $4 a gallon, 66% supported offshore drilling.
Yeah, people don't want to pay for the gas at the pump. That's the issue.
Now, here's an interesting one on the reviews here. When it comes to immigration, Ron DeSantis has a proposal here. It's amazing that you have to propose this. I thought this was already state law. Governor Ron DeSantis has a proposal to require local law enforcement to work with federal immigration authorities on ICE and deportations. Remember, the left says this is nothing about racism. We're separating kids and families, and with those that are undocumented need help.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what? 61% of Florida voters back Governor Ron DeSantis' proposal. Let's break it down by identity on the issue of race, since the left loves to play race identity politics. Whites support it 68 to 21%. Black voters, 51% support Governor Ron DeSantis' proposal. And within the margin of error, 48 to 50% of Hispanics support the governor's proposal.
This basically speaks to the idea of sanctuary cities, sanctuary counties.
Yes.
I believe there was a county in South Florida that said that they want to basically operate on the sanctuary rules that some of the West Coast cities, like Oakland, were doing. And this basically puts a stop to that.
By the way, guess which big group out there opposes Governor Ron DeSantis' proposal, the deal with having local law enforcement to help out federal ICE immigration authority? Democrats.
Hmm.
According to the poll, Democrats oppose it 50 to 37%. Interesting on that one. So, oh boy. Hey, when you guys hear the issue of welfare reform, remember welfare queens, everything else, everything is depicted as some sort of racial issue out there. Well, the Trump administration says enough of this nonsense. They are proposing, now you guys ready for this? Some of you are going to sit back and go, well, these don't sound like strong restrictions coming out from the Trump administration. They are calling for those that are on Medicaid, housing assistance, food stamps, welfare benefits. If you are one of those to get this, President Trump and the administration says for those between the ages of 18 to 65 who are physically able, if they're not going to work a minimum of 20 hours a week or enrolled in job training or community service, we are going to cut off their welfare benefits, making money host Charles Payne.
Well, President Trump's 2020 budget causing a big stir, especially among critics who say his plan for stricter work requirements in order to receive welfare benefits like food stamps, Medicaid, housing allowance. Well, that it's just plain cruel. You know, Nancy Pelosi saying this is a cruel, cruel approach to this. What's wrong with making people or asking people to work at least 20 hours a week?
Now, I mean, now again, what's wrong with that? Roger, I said, hey, give me something here. And maybe Roger could be correct. He says that the welfare system is stacked up against poor people. I think some of that's correct. But again, they're not able to get a job because what? Maybe they're not properly dressed. They don't have the right amount of teeth. I don't know if I buy into all that anymore these days.
It keeps them trapped in a system that they really have no way out. And one of the reasons why I like this is that it includes things like education. So you can end up having a very, very highly educated welfare community that when it comes down to it, maybe they are offered a job that actually pays more than the welfare benefits. Because if they go out and get a job that pays less than the welfare benefits, they lose the welfare benefits.
Right. I think we should maybe tee it down where if you're going to get more money making in a job, then you get less benefits out there.
Right.
But again, are we giving too many excuses of why people can't find jobs? I wonder.
I don't know, but I can imagine being in a situation where you're knocking on doors and you have a door slammed in your face one after another after another after another day after day after day. Sometimes people just give up. I don't know.
You've got a major job shortage out there.
You do have a major job shortage, and there are more job openings than there are people to fill them. And I have made a commitment. I'm going to head out to some of the low income Section 8 housing communities as soon as I get a free weekend, and I'm going to ask some of these people that very question.
Ed Dean, Roger Henderson, 222 talk, 904-222-8255. So is those numbers too, Lex? Let me ask you a question. If you had your own version of welfare reform, how would you change the system? How would you eliminate the fraud? There are people sitting around getting checks. How would you do it? Would you make them show up once a month in the unemployment office that they have to show that they're going to school? They're not required to do that right now. They have to show up that they're at least obtaining applications. And how long would you give them out there? Are we putting too many? You know, when Roger came up a couple weeks ago, say he listed a whole round of areas of the reason why people couldn't get jobs, and maybe because of the way they dress. Some people said, all you need is a belt. Maybe because of the way they had their teeth or whatever. Are we making too many excuses for people not to get jobs?
Access to technology, 90% of jobs out there require you to be able to do it online. And if not,
they can train you.
If they don't have a computer, how are they going to apply in the first place? That kind of thing.
There are a lot of entry-level jobs out there they can train. So are we giving too many excuses out there? 222-TALK, 222-8255, Talk Radio, WBOB.
On the west side, 295 North at Commonwealth, there's an accident. We can see on the traffic cams that it's not causing any backup just yet. If you're on I-10 headed toward town, look out for a slowdown beginning at McDuff and I-295 North from Bay Meadows Road to Phillips Highway. There's backup.
Men, suffering from ED or PE, an important message from Men's Choice Medical Center.
I'm Dr. Sheikh, MD. Have pills like Viagra, Cialis, or Levitra let you down? At Men's Choice Medical Center, our custom-blended medications have guys lasting longer than ever. No pain, no surgery, and it's affordable.
Call 904-600-3133. Guaranteed results first visit, or you pay nothing. Call now, 904-600-3133.
Hey guys, good news. The outrageously expensive little blue pill is now generic, which means you can get the prescription medication to treat ED at affordable prices. And Hims makes it extra affordable. Right now, get your first month supply for free. All you pay is just $5 for your medical consultation when you go to forhims.com/play. After that, it's just $30 for a month's supply. Sure beats paying big bucks for just one blue pill, doesn't it? Plus, you won't need an awkward in-person doctor's appointment to get the prescription. Hims has doctors online who can prescribe the medication, and a pharmacy sends it right to your door. It's affordable, private, and incredibly easy. Nobody likes dealing with ED. Now, thanks to Hims, nobody has to. And that's really good news. To get your first order for just $5, you need to go to this exclusive address, forhims.com/play. That's forhims.com/play for your first month for just $5. forhims.com/play.
Prescription products require an online physician consultation and are only available if the physician determines a prescription is appropriate. See website for full details.
I'm Clayton Bromberg, the president of Underwoods, and I have some interesting information if you're interested in owning a quality diamond. We did some research on the internet to see how diamonds price on various websites like Blue Nile. What we found were diamonds of the same weight, color, clarity, had pretty different prices. Generally, that has something to do with how the diamonds cut, but the only way to see these diamonds was to buy them. So we did a price comparison on the diamonds we could tell were nicely cut, and what we found was our prices for beautifully cut Underwood diamonds were the same as theirs. So if you're interested in diamonds and want real expert help, real quality and value, and don't want to pay just to look at a diamond, come by Underwoods. And remember, when a diamond comes from us, you get all the services, assurances, and guarantees the people of North Florida have learned to expect for over 80 years. At Underwoods, our brand is a promise, and it's one we keep. In San Marco, Avondale, and the shops of Ponte Vedra.
Partly cloudy today. We'll have a high of 81 degrees. This evening will be partly cloudy and an overnight low of 63. Right now, it's 63 at WBOB.
WBOB is talk radio for Northeast Florida and Southeast Georgia.
And here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. Newly released transcripts show former FBI lawyer Lisa Page admits being told to go easy on Hillary Clinton. Opponents say that a new proposal dealing with the state lottery bill will cost millions for Florida education funding. And the number of wealthy households in the U.S. has reached a new high.
To contact Ed Dean at AM 600 and 101.1 FM, call 222-TALK, 222-8255, or email ed at wbob.com.
Some people, and I'm going to find out later today, are we doing, I think we may be doing election night coverage coming up Tuesday evening for at least a couple of hours on the Jacksonville mayor's race. And we'll probably start at maybe, 6, 7 o'clock. We do this every election season. It's a tradition on this radio show. And I think Kevin Derby's going to come in next week. I had, before we get to the calls at 222-TALK, 222-8255, I had dinner last night with some friends of mine. One of them happens to be a member of the JSO. And he's in zone five.
I forget which area that is.
That's like west side, okay. North side. And he deals with this. And I had dinner last night and he says, listen, we have crime problems here in Jacksonville. But he says, for the overall, he goes, it's in a certain area. Mm. So that's why when I asked the question, is the issue of crime, because some people think Lenny Curry can win on this whole area, that he's doing better on the issue of crime, even though it's gone up underneath his watch under mayor. But is it only in certain areas? He's going to try to get 50% plus next week. Some people think he could get it next week. I'm not sure about that, but we're going to find out. But everybody says a good chunk of voters believe that crime is a big issue here in the city. I've always asked the question, is it a yes and no question? Is it a big issue? Yes, in some areas.
Right.
But if you live in other areas of the city, it's not a problem.
But I do believe that people who even don't live in those areas are still concerned about the people who do. It's their city too. Sometimes they have to drive through those areas. A lot of the schools, believe it or not, happen to be in the high crime areas. So they're sending their little kids into those areas every single day.
So let me give you, before we get to the calls here in just a brief moment, some of the big issues we've talked about. Welfare reform, again, according to the Kaiser Family Foundation, 40% of those that are able to work that are on state-run Medicaid and receiving other government assistance don't want to work. President Trump says, okay, fine. Then he proposed a new bill the Democrats are all angry about that says that if you are going to be on food stamps, assistance, any type of welfare, whatever, Medicaid, that you've at least got to work 20 hours a week, or you've got to go to job training, which is education, mm-hmm. or you've got to at least do community service. My question to you, is that a decent proposal or is it too lax? That's question number one. Number two, there is a new bill being supported here in the state of Florida by the Florida State Legislature that we're told that more money from the lottery, if you play lotto, that more money would go to education. But the same proponents say that we want to add warning labels that playing lottery is bad for your financial situation. Quote, here it is. The main wordage, the verbiage is warning label on lottery tickets, advertisements, and promotions of the games. Quote, the warning would say playing a lottery game here in Florida constitutes gambling and may lead to addiction and or compulsive behavior. The chances of winning a prize are very low. My question to you is, do we need to be putting warning labels if you play lotto? And do you think by putting warning labels on a lottery ticket is going to prevent people from playing the game, Roger?
It may not prevent everyone from playing it, but it may warn people who may have an addiction that they're seeing a problem that may be something that's actually a thing, a diagnosed thing, and they may try to look out for some help.
Maybe the warning should be if you're not winning, that should be the warning. So my question to you is, where do we stop here? Should it be the government now mandating, and I don't play lotto, should the government mandate what should be warning labels on a lottery ticket? What about when it comes to, like, when you want to go to a drive-thru and eat your food? Should the government be forcing McDonald's and Chick-fil-A to tell you how many calories are in that Big Mac? Or should we just leave it to the business owner to decide if they want to do that or not? What are your thoughts on this? 222-TALK, 222-8255. Paul, good morning. How are you?
Hello.
Hey, good morning, sir.
Hey, I want to talk about the welfare reform.
Okay.
I've always thought that it would be a lot simpler if as opposed to saying that you have to work 20 hours or you have to do this. I would say that the people who receive it would work by virtue of coming to a location. Sitting somewhere, they don't have to work, they don't have to do anything, they have to be somewhere 40 hours a week. And then we would be paying the government, the people would be paying them whatever their benefits are. I would bet there would be a lot of people decide that they'd rather go out and work. We're just not giving them good options. The options we're giving them, they're taking the easy way out.
Paul, what kind of options would you or you have you witnessed or seen or you thought might be a good idea that may benefit those to ensure that or help them to get off the system?
Well, first off, I think it's somewhat systemic, and also it's generational. I've seen, you know, grandmas living with their. Living with their children in the Section 8 housing, you know, there's three or four generations. They've been in the Section 8 housing for 20 plus years. And some of that is just, you know, they've taken the road that's easier, I think.
Interesting point, Paul. It's generational. Interesting. Hey, thanks for calling in this morning. So he says, I understand that. I don't know if it's that. Do you think it's that wide systemic, as he points out? I think he does have a point. It's you know, hey, it's just been that way. It's sometimes young people learn from what their parents. But, I mean, I hear a lot of people say, hey, I don't want to grow up to be where my parents were at. I mean,
exactly.
I'm not talking to everybody. So is it really that big of a generational thing?
I do believe that people who are finding themselves in that situation tend to come from homes that were like that, but they probably had other siblings, the majority of whom did not follow that same path. And they were able to pull themselves up. Study hard in school and now at least middle class, working a job and not in need of Section 8 housing.
So 222-TALK, 904-222-8255. Are we not being tough enough on the welfare? Are we moving towards it? I want to hear what you think. I have an idea who typically should not be getting welfare, but they do get it. I'll get to that in a moment. Let's go to Mike. Hey, Mike, good morning.
Good morning, Ed, and good morning, Roger.
Hey.
Listen, the Great Society has failed. It's proven it doesn't work. But we've been through this before with Bill Clinton. You know, we had a great welfare reform act with Bill Clinton and Newt Gingrich.
Right.
But Obama did away with it with his pen. And the results of the welfare reform act are great. You know, it was part of the reason why, and I know it's debatable how the budget got balanced, but it was part, or if the budget was balanced, but it was part of the reason why the budget got balanced.
Sure.
Now America is in a bad way. You know, I mean, Russia and China are both passing us up. If we don't do anything, if we don't start acting and improving our weapon systems and our ships and things like that, we're going to be left in the dust. We're going to be a third-rate power. We have to do something. It's not an option. We got to cut somewhere.
All right, Mike. Mike, good point about the history lesson under with Clinton, as you are correct, and also with Obama. We've been promoting too much of HUD housing, and we've done it. Whether it's been listen, George W. Bush promoted it. of cities to get involved in blighted areas and to redo the areas and instead of bringing more of a free market reform system. So, I mean, Obama did have a big part, but W had another area where more government could become involved, building more public housing and Section 8 and HUD and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, well, Section 8 is technically a private, you know, public partnership where there is some free market aspect to it, but not completely because these housing complexes are independently owned by people.
Here's the point.
And then you have Habitat for Humanity, which I think they've got the best model out there when it comes to, you know, low-income
ownership.
Housing.
But what's the point? Even if the private sector is building Section 8 housing,
right?
What's the point? If you want to get people out of Section 8 housing.
Exactly.
Let's go to Rhonda. Hey, Rhonda, good morning. You're on WBOB. How are you?
Fine. Good morning. I just wanted to make a comment. I know
Please.
Years ago, I'm 66, obviously. Even the Medicaid program has levels based on your income. I think welfare needs to do the same thing. There's some mother out there that she can't work at McDonald's and feed two kids, and so she says, well, I can make more in welfare. Based on their income, give them a little bit of money. I don't see that coming. It's like you either get welfare or you get a job, and it's kind of, to me, that's kind of stupid.
Rhonda, give me your advice. What would you, if you wanted to incrementally reform it, how would you do it?
Make it on tiers, levels based on income. If I'm making $10 an hour, maybe supplement a small amount of money or whatever benefits as far as whatever. Because, I mean, I've talked to people. I mean, my kids grew up, they're in their 30s, and they grew up with kids that, oh, they have a kid, so they can live in HUD housing, and they don't have to work. And it's like, it's just, I know there are people out there that can't make a lot of money, but they shouldn't have it either or. You either have welfare
or you have work.
That's good.
Rhonda says, she made a valid point where she says, unfortunately, in some of the areas, some states may change it, but it's one or the other. And I asked the question, then why can't you, for example, if you're on welfare reform, here's the question I'm asking. Mm-hmm. And let's say that you get a job, but you're making money, but you still have to have some of that assistance. So why can't we move assistance instead of it's one or the other, where we start to wean people off incrementally?
Exactly.
I mean, I don't know if it exists in some states, but why don't we go down that path?
That's a brilliant idea. And currently, if they make a little bit of money, they lose all their welfare benefits.
Yes.
And that creates all type of disincentive to go out and find a job. And I think if anyone's seriously looking at maybe making it incrementally, they need to also consider the cost of childcare in their tabulations as far as what needs to be, you know, supplemented and what doesn't need to be.
222-8255. A lot of good calls, and always enjoy hearing from you. 222-8255. A lot on the table today. Should we be putting warning labels on people buying lottery tickets? Do you think that's going to prevent people? Hey, it could be financial to your economic health, and you could become a compulsive gambler, and it may lead to addiction. If they're already buying it, aren't they already addicted to it? Where do we stop it? By government-mandated labels, or is it a good idea? I'd like to hear what you think. 222-TALK. 222-8255. Talk Radio WBOB.
Talk Radio. AM 600. 101.1 FM. WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. With at least five Republicans saying they're on board, the Senate appears poised to vote to overturn President Trump's declaration of a national emergency at the southern border. Yet another Democrat announcing he's running for president, former Texas Congressman Beto O'Rourke, says he's in the race. Following the lead of numerous countries and airlines, the U.S. grounding all MAX 8 jetliners, the MAX series jetliner coming under intense scrutiny following a second deadly accident, the crash of a MAX 8 operated by Ethiopian Airlines. With a no-deal Brexit off the table, the British Parliament will now decide whether to delay the UK's scheduled end-of-month departure from the European Union. On Wall Street this morning, Dow futures are down 79 points, NASDAQ futures off 2, S&P futures 4 points lower. More details at srnnews.com.
Good morning. If you're going 95 south near the airport, there's a broken down car right near Airport Road. Also, look out for slowdown at 95 North at 8th Street and 10 going toward downtown, beginning at McDuff. There is backup. Partly cloudy today. Our high will be 81 this evening, partly cloudy, with a low of 63. And currently it is 63 here at WBOB. And here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. A Quinnipiac University poll finds Florida voters oppose allowing trained teachers and school officials to carry guns on school grounds. ABC News reports the nationwide college scam was discovered by accident by the FBI. And Democrats oppose the new welfare reform bill by the Trump administration.
To contact Ed Dean at AM 600 and 101.1 FM, call 222-TALK, 222-8255, or email ed at wbob.com.
All right, we're going to get Steve Beaman here in a few moments. A lot of people have been weighing in on this entitlement welfare where the Trump administration says that, hey, you get off to work 20 hours a week if you want to get food stamps, government assistance, welfare. What was the other one we're talking about? Medicaid?
Mm, yeah.
Let me see, what was the other restriction here that they're talking about doing? You want to get housing assistance.
Right.
The Trump administration says, this is what they've laid out. If you're between the ages of 18 to 65 and you're able to work, you got to work at least 20 hours per week, or you got to be enrolled in a job training, or you got to do community service. So my question to you, is that good enough? Is that strict enough? Or is that a little bit too lax? What's your take on this? I always love hearing from you on this issue and other issues as well. Let's go to 222-TALK, 222-8255. Let's go to Blake. Hey, brother, what's going on?
Good morning, Ed. So I used to work for the Department of Children and Families for 10 years that did the food stamps, Medicaid, and cash system.
Yeah, tell me the story.
And I'm sorry?
Yeah, go ahead. I was waiting for you to tell me the story.
Okay. So here's the thing. What we need to do to fix this is to incentivize families, husbands and wives being in the house together. What's happened is that these programs have created a situation where people go to the government when father isn't in the household and allowing them to do the things that they're doing. Frederick Douglass Institute points this out very well.
Let me ask a question, St. Vincent de Paul's is a very well-known Catholic charity here in Florida, and I remember right after the Great Recession, this is about 2010, maybe 2011, they were next to one of the radio stations that carried the show, and I went to go see them one day. I said, there are a lot of those in the white community and black community. It's just not a black thing. A people needs assistance. I said, tell me overall, how many people do you think, because they have work requirements, Blake, before they can get the food and assistance. I said, how many do you believe people that are looking to demand more than what they really need? Give me a percentage. And the lady that told me said about 35 to 40%. My question to you, when you were worked at DCF and you looked at some of this, when people coming in trying to get assistance and things like that, what do you think the percentage of people you sat back and go, you know what, you really don't need this extra assistance that you're asking for? What was the percentages probably?
Well, there's been a lot of food stamp fraud. I'd say 25 to 30%. What happens is the street, that's what they call the knowledge out there in the community. The street knows how to work the system. I have a friend of mine who's very involved with the Salvation Army, and what they do is it's a business. They work at gathering handouts and things like that rather than work at getting a job.
I appreciate the call. It sounds like a cabal going on with the homeless crowd in Hemming Park. Those people are getting assistance, aren't they? More handout instead of getting a job. Interesting. Let's go to Jesse. Hey, Jesse, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Ed. How you doing?
I'm doing well. What do you think about this?
Just an idea on the welfare reform. They could, as much money as they're paying, and, you know, the government gives grants for education and blah, blah, blah. Why don't they have these people sign up for trade school?
Yeah.
Hey.
And if they need a GED, help them get their GED. And the only thing that'll qualify is a trade school or medical, like nursing or, you know, MAs or something like that. Not all this in-between garbage they go to college for.
Jesse, here's the thing. I mean, that's a great idea. I think that would be part of the job training out there. But, I mean, when you go to a trade school, look at the jobs. I mean, rider truck even for the minimals, paying $50,000 a year. And so, Jesse, my question is, are welfare recipients making that much money where if he sat back and go, man, I can make a lot more money, live high on the hog, young kids love to do that. Are they making that much money where they sit back and go, it's just not worth it for me to go out and get a job?
Well, then, you know, if they're able and they won't take it, you got 6 months to make your mind up or we're taking it. You know, truck drivers retiring at Publix making, they got $1 million because they've been there their 30 years, you know. And welders, what do they make? 50 to 75, 80,000 a year. It's more than where to go. Truck drivers over in the oil fields, they're making 100, 150,000 a year. I mean, get them in some kind of schooling. If they don't want to do it, all right, 6 months, get a job or you're off.
Yeah. Jesse, it's good to hear from you this morning. I mean, again, if you're in a recession, the argument could be made, but folks, we're not in a recession. So I don't know why this is so difficult. Coming up next, in just a few moments, Steve Beamon, very well-known radio talk show host, chairman of the McGraw Council, on some of the issues we brought up and other issues as well with the a story from Bloomberg. More people became millionaires under Barack H. Obama. And guess what? We're told that the tax cuts are benefiting the rich, and yet they're still not paying their fair share. 37 minutes after the hour, talk radio WBOB.
I-95 South, just before Airport Row, there is a broken down car. We are keeping an eye on it with traffic cams. We don't see a whole lot of backup there just yet. 95 North at 8th Street, traffic is building, and an I-10 going toward downtown. You'll begin to slow down at Cassett. It stays busy to Stockton.
This traffic report is brought to you by J. David Tax Law. When you owe the IRS and can't pay, go to jdavidtaxlaw.com. Peace of mind is only a click or phone call away.
The Bojangles Country Fried Steak Biscuit may be their greatest biscuit ever, and they're on sale now for just $1.19. Bojangles Country Fried Steak Biscuits, now just $1.19, and served all day for breakfast, lunch, or dinner at Bojangles on Beach Southside in Blanding.
It's time to find a new home through Home Finder Realty listing or buying a residential property or planning to build. Call Home Finder Realty. Home Finder Realty can't be beat on property management. Let them handle your problems. Home Finder Realty has listed one of the few detached single-family homes in the Fort Caroline ICW area that is move-in ready for under $200,000. Three-bedroom, two-bath, two-car garage, only $194,000. Call agent Anna Hernandez at 655-3165 or Robert McDonald at Home Finder Realty, 241-5555.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow. For the longest time, I've wanted to come out with the world's most comfortable bed sheets, but up until now, I haven't been able to find anything that held up to my high standards. I've finally found the best cotton in the world in a region where the Sahara Desert, the Nile River, and the Mediterranean Sea all come together to create the ideal weather conditions for growing cotton. My new Giza Dream bed sheets are made with this long staple cotton, and I guarantee they'll be the most comfortable sheets you'll ever own. The first night you sleep on my sheets, you'll never want to sleep on anything else.
The Giza Dream Sheets are available in a variety of colors, and like all of Mike's products, they come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. Right now, you can get your very own by calling 800-950-9024 and use promo code WBOB to get 30% off plus free shipping.
Partly cloudy today. We'll have a high of 81. This evening will be partly cloudy, and we're expecting the low to drop to 63. Not a strong chance of rain today or tonight. 63 currently here at WBOB.
Financial issues with Dan Celia at 9 this morning. Now, back to the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 and 101.1 FM. WBOB.
And here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. Opponents say that a new proposal dealing with a state lottery bill will cost millions for Florida education funding. The number of wealthy households in the U.S. has reached a new high. And newly released transcripts show that former FBI lawyer Lisa Page admits being told to go easy on Hillary Clinton.
To contact Ed Dean at AM 600 and 101.1 FM, call 222-TALK, 222-8255, or email ed@wbob.com.
Hey, good to have you here, Ed Dean. Before we get to Steve Beamon here in just a moment, a Bloomberg News reports this past week that the U.S. has now more millionaires than ever before. In fact, they got more millionaires than Sweden and Portugal out there. Of course, this was all done. The majority of this happened under former President Barack H. Obama. And hey,
so maybe he does deserve the credit then, after all.
Yeah, maybe he does. Yeah,
Don Lemon's got a point.
Yeah, that's funny. The number of Americans in the wealthiest category has more than doubled since the Great Recession. The wealthiest of the wealthiest had doubled underneath former President Barack H. Obama. In 2018, more than 10.2 million households had a net worth of $1 million to $5 million. The ultra high net worth households, those between 5 million and 25, were about 1.4. They increased. And those in excess of 25 million grew about 0.6%. There's 173,000 people. Steve Beaman, you're on our newsmaker line. Very, very well known economics and financial radio talk show host. He's also the chairman of the McGraw Council. Go to McGrawCouncil.com. Steve Beaman, I don't hear anybody ever talk, which I have, and I know you have. Heaven bless those individuals that benefited under Barack H. Obama to become millionaires. How can you begrudge them for allowing to keep some of their own money?
Well, it's kind of funny to hear it because you have the progressives so bashing wealth. But the fact is, we had a market that returned enormous returns to these people in the stock market. You go from 2008 and 2009 when it bottomed out back up. I mean, we were at 8,000. We've tripled the market, and that builds wealth for people. And so whether it's in their 401ks for the average folks or private equity investments for some of the more wealthy people, a lot of people added a lot of wealth over the last 10, 15 years. We've never, you know, denied that. That's a good thing. Let's just keep it going.
You know, Steve, it's interesting because the liberal left says, well, look at all this massive amount of money out there. Why are we not taxing the rich even more? Let me play to you a clip from Fox Business News correspondent Dagan McDowell. She says, even if you wanted to tax all the rich, you still don't have enough money to pay for all these programs.
I want to point out the great liberal lie is that the rich are somehow, the billionaires are going to pay for all these delicious programs that they're rolling out. Today it's the Green New Deal. Here's a little fact. If you confiscated every dollar of the adjusted gross income reported by the top 1% in this country every year, you're still going to be more than $1 trillion short paying for your Medicare for All plan, which, by the way, abolishes private insurance and dumps 150 million people off of the insurance they get from their employers. That's the idiocy. But you can't pay for it all. You know who pays for it? The middle class. And people who are in lower income.
So there you go. So Steve, you might be able to pay for the government for what? Maybe two, maybe three, 4 months.
If that. And the fact of the matter is that this has been tried. I find it incredible to believe there are still people who so fail to look at history that they think this is even theoretically a good idea. When you talk about confiscating the wealth of the very wealthy, you dry up capital for new business. That is the economic driver of our country. And so what you're going to see is as these people try to hit these super wealthy people with more and more taxes, they're just going to move out of the country, and that investment capital goes with them. Right now, above $250,000, 2.7% of all tax returns are people above $250,000. They're paying 51.6% of all taxes already. We've got a massively progressive tax code today. And the fact is, we don't need more of that.
All right. Steve Beaman is the chairman of the McGraw Council. Go to McGrawCouncil.com. When I look at a lot of the issues, Steve, when I talk about, monopolies, and you hear this from the liberal left that we want to break up Facebook and all the, you know, because they probably make too much money. And then, of course, you hear the left talk about that. Well, you know, those companies, you know, they've benefited from the workers themselves out there. The workers are what's the one to help create those of economic growth for the wealthy. Is this at least going to play some sort of a position where economic envy of going after the rich even more, like the AOCs and everybody else, is this going to be a popular issue, or is it the same movie we've seen before coming up in 2020?
I'm actually optimistic that politically it's going to blow up. What you're going to see is more and more of these idiot comments from AOC come out. People are going to be pushed from the middle into the Trump camp. I think it's actually helping the Republicans. I think anybody who looks at this realizes that her positions are absolutely insane, and it would destroy the jobs for people, the opportunities for people, and the fundamental American dream.
Hey, let me play for you a clip. Here is the University of Maryland economic professor, Peter Morici. He says, listen, because there's a lot of reports of whether or not we did 3.1% GDP growth rate for 2018. The left says, no, you didn't hit your 3%. It was 2.9. According to what you look at it, they say, okay, then fine, let's cut it in the middle at 3%. And some people are trying to talk down the economy. Morisi, let me play for you this clip, says, listen, we're still going to have positive economic growth, and the only people talking down the economy are the Paul Krugmans and liberal economists you see on TV.
We can't sustain 4% growth as we did the middle two quarters of last year, but we probably can sustain 2.5 to 3. Biggest problem we have is the liberal press talking down the recovery, literally trying to talk investors into the notion that it's over, Trump is a fraud, the tax cuts are fraud, and all this. You know, one of the most flagrant violators are economists. It's as if, you know, decades of economic research that show lowering the corporate tax rate will increase investment is false when it's true.
Well, yeah, the economics business has become politicized, I think.
Look at Paul Krugman. I mean, it's hard to tell Paul Krugman from MSNBC.
Yeah.
And he has a Nobel Prize because, after all, the Nobel Prize Committee is MSNBC.
I know, Steve, you've done many debates with these guys on radio and TV of the liberal economists out there. They, you know, they were predicting 2019 recession, not going to happen. Then it was 2020. Yeah, it may not happen to 2021. They just keep kicking the goalpost down the road.
It's what's happening here, and it is sad to see, but Morisi makes a great comment in that we've politicized the study of economics. Paul Krugman is a liberal idiot. The fact of the matter is the man hasn't studied a history book. He doesn't understand his numbers. We've got to give freedom back to the American people. The Trump administration knows that most conservative economists know it. It's freedom that generates wealth. It's the voluntary transference of wealth from one group to another, whether it's from the investor or the employee or anyone else. You know, this idea that employees don't benefit from the development of Facebook. Look how many millionaires were made at Microsoft, Facebook, and on down the line. The employees are benefiting enormously from this. Not to mention, there are jobs available. We have low unemployment. We have job opportunities for everyone. And the media and the economists that live in the left need to just shut up, get out of our way.
Steve Beaman, very well-known economics and financial radio talk show host. His group, the McGraw Council, he's the chairman. Go to McGrawCouncil.com. The Wall Street Journal has had several articles over the last few weeks. The president released his budget, $4.7 trillion. There's going to be some cuts over 10 years. I still don't know why to this day we do 10-year budgets on both sides. But the article comes out and says, does not, especially the Republicans, isn't anybody talking about the debt and deficits anymore?
They're not, and they should be. The problem we have in the budget, Ed, and you and I've talked about it before right now, mandatory spending is about 60%. Mandatory spending is Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security. Those are the big budget busters. Defense is down to about 15%. Non-discretionary spending is at 15%. Interest payments about 7%. So it's these enormous entitlement programs that are weighing so heavily. And as the baby boomers continue to age and go through the system, that's going to cause even more pressure there.
Steve Beaman, the McGrawCouncil.com. It's always good to have you on.
It's a pleasure, my friend. I hope to see you soon.
All right. Steve Beaman here on the program. As we reported, Beto O'Rourke, whatever his name is, Beta, that's how we call him.
Uh-huh.
He's announcing he's running for president. Remember, he was recently on MSNBC. He is a congressman, was from the state of Texas. Hey, see that wall right there? You don't support raising it? No, I don't. What about the current wall? Would you take it down? He goes, oh, yeah, I would take the current wall down right now, right where El Paso is at.
You know, would you take the wall down now here?
Yes.
Like you have a wall.
Absolutely.
Knock it down.
I'd take the wall down.
And do you think if there's a referendum here in this city, that would pass?
I do. Here's what we know. After the Secure Fence Act, we have built 600 miles of wall and fencing on a 2,000-mile border. What that has done is not in any demonstrable way made us safer. It's cost us tens of billions of dollars to build and to maintain, and it has pushed migrants and asylum seekers and refugees to the most inhospitable, the most hostile stretches of the U.S.-Mexico border, ensuring their suffering and death.
Well, okay, if there's a wall, of course it's going to move people. Like, it's like a fish net.
Right.
Wait, the fish need the net. They're going to move around where they may have to combine to be going down another channel with other fish. I mean, come on.
Yeah, this wall hasn't caused us to catch anybody because you know why? It was effective. But I find so interesting about Beto O'Rourke, though, his big qualification is the fact that he lost. It's basically a popularity contest because he started getting national TV exposure, so now people know who he is, but he didn't actually win that Senate race. Ted Cruz did.
Makes you wonder if Democrats should run a motto. Hey, We've lost. We can teach you how to lose again. Just want to kind of check it out. Dean Roger Henderson. 222-TALK. 222-8255. Talk Radio WBOB.
If you're on I-10 this morning going east toward downtown, you'll begin to see backup starting at Cassett. It remains busy to 95 and 295 north from 9B to Bay Meadows Road. Traffic is heavy.
I'm Lou Dimes. Verizon adding 5G service in two major cities. Walt Disney World raising ticket prices again. Almost 900,000 Fiat Chrysler vehicles recalled. Those stories next.
G'day. I'm Scott from Plug-in Pest Free. I want to personally thank all my Plug-in Pest Free customers who've taken the time out to call, write, and who have left messages to thank me for ridding their homes and businesses of unwanted rodent and pest problems. So from me to you, I thank you. Plug-in Pest Free is the only scientifically tested and, more importantly, consumer-proven electromagnetic pest management system since 1995. Why put up with those annoying rodents and pests any longer? Plug-in Pest Free is 100% chemical-free, making it your safest bet to manage your rodent and pest problems around your family and pets. With a 60-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose. So order yours today at gopestfree.com. Use promo code SAVE20 for 20% off and free shipping. That's gopestfree.com, promo code SAVE20. Don't spray and regret. Plug in and forget. Gopestfree.com today.
Verizon has launched the first 5G mobile services in Chicago and Minneapolis at an additional cost of $10 a month for existing customers. That 5G platform offers data speeds up to 50 to 100 times faster than rivals 4G networks. The self-styled most magical place on earth boosting prices again. Walt Disney World in Florida this week raising single-day theme park tickets to $219. And guests at Disney World hotels will no longer get free overnight parking. Hotel garages now charging $24 a night. Fiat Chrysler recalling nearly 900,000 of its vehicles in the United States because they don't meet emission standards. The voluntary recall includes 2011 through 2016 Dodge Journey models. Please join me for Lou Dobbs tonight, 7 o'clock and 10 Eastern on the Fox Business Network. This is the Lou Dobbs Financial Report.
Question, do you have a health insurance plan you are not happy with? Well, Bethany and Jason thought they were stuck. Their plan just kept getting more expensive, and Bethany's favorite doctor didn't even take that plan anymore. And then some friends at church told them about MediShare.
With our previous insurance, we were paying $1,200 a month. With MediShare, we now pay around $600 a month.
Yes, they're paying $600 less per month, and that's a pretty typical savings with MediShare. And they actually like MediShare more.
I was able to go back to my original doctor that I absolutely loved, and it's just been an absolutely beautiful thing being a part of MediShare.
Yeah, so they pay a lot less, and they like it more. No wonder MediShare is growing so fast. Find out more. They're super easy to talk to. All you have to do is call 877-64-BIBLE. That's 877-64-B-I-B-L-E. 877-64-BIBLE.
It is partly cloudy today. We'll have a high of 81 degrees. This evening, partly cloudy with a 1 in 10 chance of rain. Overnight, the low 63. Currently, it is 63. Here at WBOB.
To contact Ed Dean at AM 600 and 101.1 FM, call 222-TALK, 222-8255, or email Ed at WBOB.com.
Yahoo News had a big story on what Democrats may try to identify themselves or maybe break away from other Democrats, you know, as they try to, who can become more liberal on Medicare for All, the issue of taxes. Well, guess what? Reparations. I'm like, well, is it the same old? Not anymore. They've repackaged it. Listen to what some of the Democrats running for president, like Julian Castro and Kamala Harris, are saying about it.
If under the Constitution, we compensate people because we take their property, why wouldn't you compensate people who actually were property?
Really, I know a lot of times government does stuff with your property, never properly compensates you.
Interesting. Now, you are a candidate who believes that African Americans should receive reparations for slavery, specifically $100 billion paid out in a 10-year annual installment of $10 billion. Is this symbolic, or do you think this money goes to some practical purpose?
This is not symbolic at all. I believe $100 billion given to a council that would apply this money to economic projects and educational projects of renewal for that population is simply a debt to be paid.
Former editor of the Folio, columnist for the Daily Dot, our good resident liberal here, Claire Goforth. I thought it was back in the... Roger and I were surprised. No more than 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Those on the left, not everybody, Hillary Clinton, Bernie Sanders doesn't even support it.
At least he's consistent. He wants everybody not to have money.
That's a good one, Roger. But I thought it was just to give everybody a check. Now they're repackaging it, saying maybe that's not such a popular idea. Instead, let's spend more money in some of the poor economic areas. And I thought we've already tried that. That hasn't worked, but maybe it's not enough money.
Oh, but have we really done reparations? Not as far as I am aware. There's this really interesting study I heard about a few years ago on mice. And mice that experience trauma, then their subsequent generations of mice, they exhibited some of the same symptoms of the trauma, having not experienced it.
Interesting.
And it really led to this conclusion that, like, this thing that I had been hearing a lot from people in the black community, that there was this generational trauma that had affected the American black community. Whereas even if you could argue that today things are a lot better, this historic trauma that Americans who are black have experienced could be carried in the DNA, and this would be some sort of a way to try to repair that.
I've never heard of that. I mean, I've heard something like that, but I haven't heard it all that way.
I actually heard something similar from a spiritual perspective from a conservative white preacher.
Huh. It'd be atonement, essentially.
And encouraging people to you know, seek the right prayer to get set free
from
that.
Then how do you explain some of those that have actually done quite well for themselves? Maybe that I've heard stories where they've become very successful in sports because it was in their DNA then that their parents are going to live in poverty. How did they break out?
Oh, but that...
Was it not that much DNA?
That is a hot potato of an assumption there, Ed, because the real sad, tragic fact of the matter is that white slave owners bred black people as if they were livestock. I hate to say that out loud because it is heartbreaking,
Wait a second. You mean to tell me 100-plus years later we still have this generational aspect that now we're going to blame because if people can't succeed, it was from 100-plus years ago of a great-great-great-granddaughter, great-grandmother and their DNA from slavery, and it somehow it's transitioned down years later?
Would you argue that white people are no longer racist in America, that we don't have a problem with racism in America?
Not at all. I think there's white-black racism as well. But what I'm telling you is, what do you tell the majority? Listen, the majority of basketball players are black. A good chunk of football players are black. And everyone that I've heard, Roger, we've interviewed them. They have them on our Black Gospel station as well. Those from the Jags, and it's a good story, by the way. Hey, man, we were raised in poor communities, and we sat back and said, we do not want to be doing this anymore. How do you explain all of those hundreds of people out there and thousands that, did, if it was in their DNA, were able to break away and become successful?
I mean, you're,
that's not an assumption.
We're trying to talk about laws of averages here, not the exceptions, okay? Yeah. You're always going to
find
an exception.
A lot of exceptions, right?
There certainly are plenty of exceptions, and that's a great thing. I want to see more exceptions.
Right.
Until it becomes the average, where black people aren't faced with these roadblocks to success.
Let me reverse it. Is that to sit back and say that the large of law numbers among white people would be racist?
Is that? I mean, I don't think that is to say that. I do think that is to say that there is enough of a problem with racism in America that, you know what, let's try to fix this problem.
And percentage-wise.
Let's do the math. We're talking about $100 billion. If we have 38 million black people, let's do the math. Black people, that amounts to $2,600 per person.
There we go. That's not a whole lot of money.
That's not a whole lot of money.
$2,600 a person?
I
want more than that.
I think the symbolism would matter a lot.
Give me a bigger
check
than that. Come on. I want $26,000.
The money, it's not that much money. That's the M.O. 222-TALK. 222-8255. Always love hearing from you this morning. Take calls coming up in just a few moments. This is Talk Radio WBOB.